So what if the part of you that feels lost, afraid, or unworthy isn't broken at all? What if it's just a younger version of you waiting to be seen, held, and loved? Today, I'm joined by Ines Segal. She's the internationally acclaimed intuitive healer, best-selling author of The Secret Language of Your Body, and a leading voice in emotional and energetic healing. Her work has reached millions around the world, helping people reconnect with the wisdom of their bodies and the innocence of their inner child. So, in this episode, Inna is going to walk us through what the inner child means and how we can start communicating with it in order to heal ourselves. Before we get started, I just want to thank Dr. Bradley Nelson and iHeartRadio for your sponsorship and a big shout out to our audience and our fans and everybody out there listening. Before you leave today, please do not forget to like and subscribe. And if you have not yet checked out Inna's previous episodes, please go back and listen to them and then come back to this one because there's a lot of topics that we covered that are amazing. Inna, it's really good to see you again.
Hi, Lisa. It's great to be here with you. I really love having these conversations.
Yeah, they're incredible and they're unique and they're different, but they're so powerful.
Thank you.
Yeah. So why do you think energy work? I know this isn't inner child stuff, but why do you think energy work is so impactful? And why is it so misunderstood? And how do we get more people talking about it?
Well, I think that it's impactful because we are essentially made of energy. And I think quantum physics is now coming out and saying it much more. And I think that it's impactful because you actually experience healing as opposed to curing. And, I really believe that there's a massive difference between healing and curing. For me, curing is not actually looking at anything that's going on inside of yourself, no underlying issues, and just kind of trying to take, whether it's, a tablet, a pill, a drug, to have surgery to deal with what's coming out on the outside, whereas healing, and again, I'm not saying that people should never have that because, obviously there are people who are not ready for healing or energy type work, and they do need that. But essentially, healing is going within and discovering, and sometimes it can be really inspiring. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes you lie there in the middle of the night trying to put the pieces together of something that doesn't make sense, without really honing in onto what's really going on. And, energy follows thought and it follows emotions. So much of who we are and our soul is all about that. But there is a painful element and an honesty element that is involved for a lot of people. Because we, most people just run through life and they believe in science. And I'm all for believing in science, but the question is, let's break that science down and understand what it actually is, which is observing things and coming, connecting the pieces together and coming to a logical conclusion about what you're being shown.
Yeah.
Science is not just getting rid of anything that is energetic, spiritual, emotional. I mean, one of the things I actually had somebody recently, and she said, "Well, what does science think of Inna's work?" And my partner Matt, he was trying to answer, and she said, "Has she done scientific experiments?" And I'm like, "Well, how would I even go about doing that when the people who, who do these experiments?" Experiments don't believe in the basics of the fact that we have subtle bodies. So they only
Yeah.
believe in the physical body. So how could we do an experiment on what I teach, which is understanding that you have a soul, that you have a spirit, that you have an astral body, an emotional body, mental,
An
energetic,
inner
and they're
child, which we'll
not,
get to shortly.
yeah, inner child. And it's not the same as physical. You know, it would be it. You know, when science, you know, in this sense, gets to being more open to it, and we're now talking again about, you know, alternative science, because that's not the question that people ask. They're really asking about, you know, medical science. Then I'm really happy to help them with, you know, with anything. But there's been many people like Rudolf Steiner, who I am a big, you know, I've been very deeply inspired by, who was an actual scientist and who brought something called spiritual science to our world. But that's not what, you know, not, I guess general science would accept as being science. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's like there's so many things that work that are invisible. And so whenever someone is like, I don't believe in it, I'm like, well, how is your Wi-Fi working? Like you can't see EMFs, but they're everywhere. It's as simple as that. But let's pivot, because today we're talking about the inner child. And just before I ask you what exactly the inner child is, I'll tell you that right now, mine is in the backseat of my van. She's curled up with her blanket. She's got a smile on her face and she's sleeping. So she's really happy right now. What is the inner
Yeah.
child?
Well, you know, I think when we're looking at archetypes, let's call it an archetype. So, an archetype essentially contains your experiences in life, and those experiences connect to other people's experiences. So, let's say I've had a childhood, you've had a childhood, right? We know what it means to be a child. I may have had a more difficult childhood or an easier childhood than somebody else, but there is definitely a part of me that experienced it. When, you know, when we were a child, we also developed. So we actually go through different stages of development from the womb, right? When you're in the womb, you're growing, and then you've got 0 to 9 months old, and there is a particular stage of development that occurs then. And then we've got 9 months to 18 months, and then to 3 years, and then to 6 years old. And then we start to go into being not necessarily just a little child, that actually, up till the age of 7, we're absorbing energy and belief systems and emotions from whoever's looking after us the most. So we're like a sponge. And during that time, a nervous system essentially is, as it's copying our family, it's, you know, it's becoming who we end up becoming, essentially, what we end up thinking, believing about things like survival, like finances. I just did a workshop on this weekend, understanding of how much we actually absorb from our family in terms of what we create in our lives. And I know you and I went through the chakras. So 0 to 7 is the root chakra. It's survival, it's tribe and family, it's finances, it's our ability to have integrity or lack of it as we get older. So all of this we absorb and we observe. And even if we can say, well, you know, I don't want to be like my mom, that, you know, or my dad, that may happen after around 9 years of age, where we start to go, how am I different? Who am I? That, you know, how am I the same as my parents? How am I different? What's really going on? But up till that age of 7, we don't have the capacity to do that. And so even though we might later on go, oh, I'm not like my mom or like my dad, we might find that we do similar things, mainly because it's actually intertwined in our nervous system and in our whole being. And this is also why when people do deeper inner child work, I talk about the fact that there's a part of you that grew as a child, and there's a part that, or different parts that may have got stunted, meaning you did not, when you were going through the different stages of development, your parents may have been in a good place together to give you, to allow you to grow in a certain, time or place. And then maybe they weren't when you were going through another developmental stage. Maybe they were fighting, maybe they broke up, maybe they weren't treating each other well. People go through all sorts of things in relationships, obviously. And so when that happens, the child, because the child is so vulnerable and you said, innocent in a way, can become stunted and stop growing. If it becomes completely stunted very early on, this is where narcissistic condition awakens. When it grows enough, it's like we become capable to the degree that we were able to grow. And this then shows up in all our relationships, in our ability to manifest abundance, in our health, in a mental, emotional health, whether we have anxiety and depression. Like, there are people that I've met who, when we've really looked at it, absorbed anxiety and depression from when they were in the womb. So again, we start to really look at this holistically and start to understand. So there's a part of you, which we call the archetype, that was developing as you were growing. But when you are an adult, this archetype comes into play based on whatever was unresolved, as well as whatever, growth you had. And so in a relationship, you may react and go off like a child when you are pushed in certain ways, or when it comes to food. So many people have food addictions and issues around food, for instance. And so they're not a child, but their inner child that feels unsafe is going, give me comfort, give me sugar, give me, something to a lolly to suck on, give me, a cigarette, because when I was really, really young, I was hurt. Give me some alcohol that will numb the pain. So it's whatever, for a person, but essentially, it shows up later on, and we go, well, that's just me. And I'm not a believer in that. I am a believer in actually that I'm going to say, I've seen people who go round and round in circles saying that they've done healing work for 30 years, 30 years, 20 years, 40 years sometimes. And my question to them is, what is this work that you're talking about? I asked somebody this yesterday when she said, I'm still depressed. I'm still anxious. I have so many issues. My body's breaking down. But I've been doing this work for 30 years. And I was like, well, what is it that you've been doing? And she said, well, personal development, which to me is so generalized. What does that
Super
even
general.
mean?
Yeah. What does that even mean? Yeah.
Right. Okay. Is it mindset, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
And then she said, well, I changed my diet and I became vegetarian or vegan and so on, but it still hasn't, changed it. And it's like, well, okay, I want to be nice, here, but in my reality of really knowing what it means to do inner work, this is 30 years of staying on the surface and doing things that are, more physical, trying to change your mind when so much of what we're talking about, especially the inner child, is not in your mind. The inner child
Totally.
is actually connected to your chakras. And so 0 to 7 is in the root chakra, which is all about this, deep, deep tribal beliefs, meaning, what did your family believe? What did the people around believe? When were you born? Which country were you born into? What was it that they were, how were they operating? What was their perspective on women, on men, on life, on capacity, right? There's so much that gets absorbed during this time period. And it's not stored in your mind, it is stored in different parts of your body. And so as we get older, then we go to the sacral chakra. So we have 7 to 14 in that part of our bodies. And so that's a very different developmental stage. And then from 14 to 21, it's in the solar plexus. So the first three chakras that people say, well, they're the heaviest or they're the hardest to work on, actually hold different aspects of what we would call, you're in a child, which is the stages of development that create who you are, essentially, because then we have 7 year cycles where you are revisiting whatever you have, wherever you've been stunted or stuck, and working through it and trying on, well, ideally, I should say, trying to bring that back to growth and life so that all of you can start to, grow up in a different way.
Yeah. So what did you tell that woman then? Did you ask her about, did you ask her if she knew anything about her inner child?
Well, essentially, she had just done my 2-day workshop.
Oh,
So
okay.
I asked her, had you ever done anything like that? Because we worked on the inner child, we worked on the feminine, the masculine within us. And she said, no, this has been, this is the first time. And so, my essentially, my advice to her was, because she said, in doing the course, I realized how much I've absorbed from my mother and my mother's traumas. And also, there was massive abuse that this woman had gone through. So, I said to her, well, there, you cannot, when you make those links and it becomes obvious to you, you must go back. You must actually start doing this inner work, starting from the womb and the, and even in the womb, you have three parts of this, three stages of development as well, three trimesters that are happening. And if we get even more deeper and spiritual, well, depending on what actually goes on in the womb and what's happening with the mother, you can either fully incarnate, meaning your soul and all the energy bodies that I've mentioned, or you may not. And if you
Right.
don't, you always walk around feeling uncomfortable inside your body. You're like, oh, I just don't feel well. Something doesn't feel right. It's like I'm not connected. And this is where detailed understanding of this type of work and not just generalizing inner child, because I did that, and I think many people do. I don't know if you did, Lisa. When you first find out about the inner child, it seems just it's like one part of you,
Oh,
as
totally.
opposed to,
Totally. I was like, it
so
was like
many.
I could picture one image of an inner child when I first learned what it was. And then I'm like, oh, I hugged her and she's fine now. And yeah, that is so not right. So not right.
And so I think this lady, again, she understood that she's got to go right back to the beginning and firstly separate, speaking of energy, separate her energy from her mother, because, like I said, until the age of 7 from the womb, it is not separate. And
Right.
so I think at one point she said her mother said to her that she was, it's hard to comprehend, but everyone has different parents, I guess, that, the abuse she experienced was her fault. And she was
Right.
7. And so you must have this separation and you must become your own parent. So you must reparent yourself. And this is where that wise self inside of you, that adult self, needs to be awakening while you're also working with different aspects of your child. And then I also had people say, well, what happens if I realize that as a mother or a father, I haven't been the best example for my children, and I'm only discovering this now, and I have
Right.
guilt.
Right.
And it's like, well, I relate to this because the first time I did really in-depth inner child work, I literally spent a year doing it. Like, I went through all the stages, I didn't rush through anything. I really, really, really took my time. And at one point, it did hit on the fact that I And part of the reason I was doing it at the time was actually because I really wanted to become a better parent. That was my whole point of it at the time,
Right.
because I realized I had I was traveling so much. I was so absorbed with my work, and my mom, had been saying it to me for years. She was like, at some point you're gonna really have to make a decision and potentially stop, because or pause what you're doing in terms of your business and your career, because you need to be a mom. And it came to that moment, and I also felt like I needed a little bit of space from my own mom to figure out who I was, because
Right.
I understood that unconsciously we take everything on. And whilst my mom was amazing in many, many areas of life, there were parts where she was numb to things. She just didn't have awareness. And I knew those were the areas where I really wanted to be a better, parent, because I also think you should evolve, than what she was capable of doing. And they were the parts that probably hurt me the most. And so I went, as you're doing this inner child work, you start to recognize, oh, okay, this is what I'm doing. This is how I keep doing the same thing that doesn't work and didn't work for me. And now I'm going to, how do I become this better parent? And so I did have to work through a lot of guilt, I have to say it. But also, I was grateful that I knew that my children were still young enough where I could do a lot to instill new ways of understanding things, for them.
Yeah, and not only that, but teach them how to talk to their inner child.
Well, absolutely. It was easier,
Yeah.
I have to say, with my daughter than my son, but I've seen him at different times saying, this is my time, and I'm working on my inner child at the moment, in the last few years. So that's been good to see.
Yeah, that is cool. So, how do we? Because I know, like, when I first started doing inner child work, like I said, I'm really visual. I was able to picture my wounded inner child and really connect with her and talk with her and eventually learn how to, like I said, communicate with the child and the adult and essentially let the adult take the front seat. And when I first like really dove into my inner child work, I realized I was going through a really rough time. I was having a rough day. And I was talking to someone who was guiding me through this inner child work. And he asked me to communicate with my inner child. And I closed my eyes and I saw that she was in the driver's seat of my van. And I was in the back seat as the like adult 41-year-old Lisa. And I'm like, oh my God, she's driving the van. He's like, yeah, she's in control. You have to learn how to look after her. And so then I like gave her like a lollipop and I was like, you need to get in the back seat and I love you and you're fine. And gave her a blanket and put her in a car seat, buckled her up so she was safe. And now every time I picture or I feel unsafe, I can see her getting up. And then I'll talk to her and I'll be like, I love you. You're going to be okay. You're safe. And I reassure her. And then she sits back down and gets in her chair. But that took me a long time to get to that point. Like you said, it takes a long time to learn how to communicate and do that work. How does someone even start talking to their inner child if they've never heard of this before?
Well, I think, if they've never heard of this before, it is a process. And I would encourage people not necessarily to start with that then, but to start with, with sensitizing, with connecting to your body, with asking questions by placing your hands on different parts of your body and breathing into it. And then firstly, recognizing that there are feelings in different parts of the body, right? Because if we're starting from the beginning, we really need to become aware of that aspect. And then we need to start to become aware of when do I become reactive? So we need to start become, it, observing ourselves. So when I react, what do I say? How do I react? And how old is this part of me? Can I start to recognize what may have happened to me at a particular age? So for a lot of men, for instance, they have a wounded teenager. And one of the reasons for that is one, because they start to they start making their own decisions, and very often they butt heads with their father or with their mother, a parental figure or a teacher as they're growing, into their teenage self, because now they're starting to think, more for themselves, and it might be very, very different to what, they're being told, or they might feel controlled. And so often these adults say things that are very harmful and hurtful without necessarily maybe even meaning to, that the teenager absorbs. And then very often, if this teenage boy meets a partner, and I'm going to say whether he's straight or gay, there's often, that teenage love is often painful, and there's hurt and breakups, and there's this sense of vulnerability, and there's rejection. And because people who are born, I'm going to say it like this, into male bodies actually have a female soul, quite interesting, and or feminine soul, I'm going to say. And so they have that physiology to kind of shut down and protect, and not necessarily to feel emotions everywhere, but in their hearts, they are very, very sensitive, and they're also not taught how to work with their emotions. And so they hide it very well, but it really, really deeply affects them. And so then what I see, especially when men start to go into that, midlife crisis that we're talking about, they're actually reliving this teenage time, and they start acting it out because that's what hasn't been healed. So we actually know that we can see that happening, but it comes back to whatever happened to them when they were a teenager, and what support they had usually comes out, and it comes out very, very strongly, in ways that are often painful in relationships. And so what I'm saying is, when we start to go, well, wow, this makes logical sense, and this makes logical sense, and this makes logical sense, we become more open to going, well, actually, there are voices in me. And rather than generalizing and saying, I act like this, or I react, in this way, you start to go, let's break this down, and let's see, which parts do, and which parts were, hurt and are holding on to depression. Because I have, worked with thousands and thousands of people, Lisa, on depression, and very few of them have depression from now. Most of the time, depression actually started from childhood and from not being supported and loved in a way that they needed to through those very important stages of development, which is also why I was looking at this before we started. I created this, this workshop, and originally it went over 5 days, so it's something like getting closer to 50 hours of work on understanding how do we. How do we work with archetypes? And some of the best work in terms of archetypes, I learned from doing acting, right? And from some of the best acting teachers that I've met or have lived, where they're actually Because it often will start with, if you want to start from the beginning, from the mother and experiencing what the mother experienced in the womb. And so in the past, the only way people could go through something like that is in their mind by being guided. But I actually get people to stand when they do a lot of processes, partly because when you're lying down, I understand about the subtle bodies and your sense of I am, and also your emotional body actually leave because will start to leave because when we fall asleep, our I and our emotional body part, which is part of our soul, goes into sleep state. It goes into the spiritual world to recover. And the minute you're lying down, that's what you're, that's what these energy bodies think you should be doing. And when you're sitting down, you actually start squashing the most important areas connected to your inner child. And people often kind of go, oh, and I'm going to put my legs here, and I'm going to cross my legs because I'm feeling uncomfortable. So I actually guide people through processes with as much movement, standing, connection to the body, music. I bring songs in that connect to your emotions. And I also work with, with energy bodies. So we'll actually create an etheric energy body of the child or of the mother, and we'll step into it so that we can feel what that archetype is feeling, not just based on what happened during when you were young, but also how it connects to you now, how it plays out in your life now, right? So the archetype becomes, how I became how I am, why I react the way that I do with my family, with my partner, with my children, meets what actually happened to me, and not just the beliefs I took on, but what was my perspective, meaning how I actually view things in life and how they show up for me, because that's how I essentially, like, that's my point of view, which is way deeper than just a belief, right? It's your point of view on life occurs through many, many layers of beliefs, and now it's like, I believe this and I see life in this one perspective, and every experience that you have then becomes this perspective that in how you see life, right? And so when we're shifting things with the inner child through actually meeting the archetype in the way that I'm describing, it becomes more powerful than just, a visualizing, visualizing this experience. And I just want to say that when you were talking about your inner child being at the driver's seat of your car, was it? It's,
My van.
Van, I used to literally do an exercise when I was teaching, live groups, meaning in person, around inner child and shadow work, and we'd look at all the different archetypes and we'd discuss them, and then I would put people into groups and I would say, okay, you are going to be the I am, so this is like you're the kind of the ego self, the wise self of this bus. And now here all the different parts of you. We're going to have the saboteur, we're going to have the victim, we're going to have the inner child at different ages potentially, and we can also have really positive aspect of being victorious and being a wise guide. And we're going to go on a trip. We're going to go on this, so we do this acting exercise. We're going to go on a trip and on a picnic. And while we're on the picnic, you're on the bus and we're going to watch how you all interact, where you sit, who's driving the bus, and the person, who's, whose consciousness this is essentially going to stand, to the side and observe all this. And then they're going to let us know this is what actually goes on within their own psyche. And it was so revealing, because we wouldn't know who was playing what, but we would then sit there and we would go, okay, this person was playing that role and this one was this. And here's, what we saw about what's going on internally. And the person whose bus it was would be like, oh my God, I've got some stuff to work on here because it's chaos. And, so often the youngest part of you, the little child would be the one who would be driving the bus for most people. It would be either the victim or the inner child.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, she's got to get out of the driver's seat. She's gonna crash. It was powerful. I have a question for you. When I do inner child work, I picture a certain age that I was. Does the age that you picture yourself as make a big difference? Because I know you're saying that each chakra has a different age category connected to our inner child, inner teenager. But all I've ever seen was one version. Does that mean anything?
Well, absolutely. So I think that the age means a lot because the age is where, it's telling you what you absorbed at that particular time and how it is related often to what you're going through now. So, for instance, I think last year I started to have these weird feelings of anxiety, and I thought to myself, I haven't felt anxiety for since I was, I don't know, a teenager. But I knew it wasn't connected to my teenage self, and I went, what is this? Like, what am I re-experiencing? And it was so fascinating because, again, I'd never connected to a 3-year-old self. And as I was watching and actually exploring what happened, why is my 3-year-old self bringing intense anxiety for me? And what I saw was that I was literally intertwined with my mom at the time. And I was looking up at my mom and she was feeling anxiety. And I was, as a 3-year-old, thinking, how do I make my mom feel better? And obviously, not having the capacity to do it, there was, again, I talked about perspective. There was a perspective that I took on at that time, which is, I failed to help my mom feel better. And so at that time, I was going through, something with somebody in my family where I just didn't feel like I could help them. But it's also not my role, right? It's not actually a role to save people. And I was like, oh my
Totally.
God, this is where it's coming from. It's coming from this 3-year-old self that was intertwined with my mom that is feeling extremely anxious. And there was, and then this is where you have to separate that energy. And I realized, my dad was actually at that time, he was away. And so for a month, actually, no, for 3 months. And she was having this intense anxiety. And I was having anxiety also about, being separated also from my partner a bit later on. And so it was like slowly I was seeing how this particular 3-year-old archetype that I had not really looked at because it hadn't come up before was now coming up because, I was trying to help somebody, it wasn't working in the family. And then I was also later on in that, going through this 3-month separation like she was. And so this intense anxiety was showing up both as the inner child and the feminine, because often there are two archetypes, working together that have been influenced by each other. So it was like,
Right.
oh my God, I don't feel supported, or I don't feel like this. And also, I'm feeling scared because of blah, 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 that's going on in your life. And so this was really interesting to connect to. But I think often different ages will show up based on whatever is going on for you. So if your life is more in a flow, calm state, you might be working on more of the feminine, or you might be working more on your masculine self. You might be working on the wise, kind of sage part of you. It just depends. You're not always working on the inner child, but and so this is different things happen during life and times, and it just really, really depends on the focus of your life at the time to what may show up.
Interesting. So once we begin to heal our inner child, how does that like transform relationships and our confidence and our sense of purpose?
Well, it completely changes your relationships because you stop reacting in the same way as your parents did or whoever you were around, and you stop attracting the same type of a person. And even if you do, let me say, if you do, because we've spoken about soulmates, or there's agreements where you need to meet this person at this particular time,
Right,
you
to learn the
start
lessons.
to, yeah, to learn some lessons. But you
Just
start
get tortured
to.
for a while. Just kidding.
Well, what I found really interesting that very few people talk about is you may still meet somebody who has many qualities of your parents,
Yeah.
but that person that you meet, as you are working it, may be much more open to working through or meeting parts of themselves that your parents were not willing to. So it's almost like, in some ways, both of you start to heal and transform and repair things that were where the wounds were. Because that's, so often where people go, oh, okay, if I do my inner work, I'm just going to meet this perfect person now. I haven't seen this. I mean, I've seen people meet narcissists and go, oh my God, I am there. I've met, like, this is, they're perfect, like everything that I've ever wanted because I've done the work. And then, 2, 3, 5 years later, 10 years later, they're like, oh my God, that is not what I thought it was. Because most people have wounds, right? And we are attracted in terms of our healed aspects just as much as we are attracted with our wounds. It's both. And so we come into relationships because there's things, where we need to grow. I feel like the worst thing I see in relationships is both people, choosing to be there when there's no more capacity for growth from both or
Right.
from one, right? I think that's actually the saddest, the most painful thing to see. But when you come together, it's like you're going to have aspects where people go trauma bonding. I don't even know what they mean. Like, everybody is trauma bonding in some
Yeah.
way. And it's like there is, all of us have traumas to a degree. And it's like, how do is this a person you want to work together with to work through it? And are they capable of it even? And what kind of traumas are we talking about? And so when you start to, you're always going to meet people usually who have some aspect that you now have an opportunity to work with and through and transform. Because if it's not one thing, it'll be something else, right?
Yeah.
So it's just which one at which point in your life. And but your relationships tend to either improve dramatically or they tend to end because you go, you know what? That trauma that I've just, really, really dug into and transformed in lots of ways, is gone, and I'm not feeling the same attraction for this person, and they're not willing to do the work. So it's one or the other usually that happens. It often gives people the strength to leave very, painful relationships. And also, I feel like in terms of it changes how you feel on a daily basis. So you gain confidence in yourself. It changes definitely if if people have depression or anxiety. Again, I've worked with so many people on this, or even massive, whatever the fear is that came from childhood, you can transform that. I've worked with people who couldn't leave their house because, and we trace it back to being, bullied when they were younger, and it showed up later in their life. So agoraphobia and all sorts of phobias that can be changed. You can, very often your financial situation changes because you essentially start to be more playful. You become more creative. Your inner child is one of the biggest aspects of you that either blocks you from attracting abundance and the life that you want and dreaming and asking for things. So it either blocks you or it really opens the door for you of possibilities you never thought were even available to you. So, it moves you towards it. So it just really, really depends on again on the work you want to do. But the the biggest, I mean, changes every part of your life, essentially. It changes your moods, it changes how you show up and whether you have more joy in your life or you're always miserable and anxious and depressed. It's just
Right.
so many things.
Wow. So, how do we start nurturing and reparenting our inner child on a daily basis? Like, what are some of the first steps?
Journaling is some of the first steps. So you can start journaling and actually separating and asking that question, is this, is this, or when people say, well, this is me, okay? So my question is always, which part of you is this? And so
Right, because we all
by
have like a million different parts. We have like versions of ourselves.
Yeah, so
Right.
you might go, okay, well, let's start by writing down what happened year by year that you can discover or understand. So what was happening, in your life when you were, I mean, what was happening in your mother's life when you were in her womb? I really feel like this is very, very important when you start doing this work. And if your mom's alive, if you can ask. But you can also look up the year you were, that, like, what was happening in the world? Where were you born? What was happening there? You usually know, was your mother, in a relationship with someone? If she gave, like, and this also comes up for people who were adopted. Well, energetically, what can you sense maybe that was going on? If she gave you up for adoption, how did, because that is a massive rejection. I don't care what people say. So you would, you would start by writing down, I was rejected, because there is no bigger or deeper feeling of rejection than your mother giving you up.
Yeah.
We can use our mind to talk about, well, but maybe I got a better parent, but internally, the child, that's what the child feels. And so actually tracing things and going, okay, so what happened when I was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, up till the age of, you might go to 21 or even 25. And then you might go, okay, where on this list does it feel like there was, the most trauma? And so you might go, or I was the most affected. And I do encourage people to learn about different stages of development as well, that we go through. And so, which is all that I teach in my courses about. But we also will look at each stage and we go, oh, so, from 18 months to, let's say, 3 years, I was learning about independence. Well, how, where were the boundaries? Did my parents have boundaries? If they didn't have boundaries, then it makes sense that I don't have boundaries. I don't know how to have healthy boundaries. So I'm going to work on my boundaries, but also as I, connect to this inner child, I might just start by writing a letter to, to the little Lisa or the little John and saying, hey, hi, I'm so sorry you did not have boundaries. I'm so sorry that this was really challenging for you, and we start to really explore this. I'm also actually I've remembered as we're talking about this, I'm creating a card deck which will be out in 2026 of the inner child, which is another way that will be another tool for people to work with the card deck and start to look at what is this aspect, as I pull a card, what is this aspect telling me about my inner child or something that I took on when I was younger? So it'll be
Nice.
another great way for people to work on things. But actually, starting with journaling, and then you might get an audio to work with. And I know I've said yeah, my, I love working with people standing and because it just becomes, all of you is participating in this, but you might just start with something where, there's some guidance and you start to get a sense of the inner child. I also really, really encourage people, if possible, to find photos of yourself. So you could find photos of yourself as a young child and you can, talk to it by having a photo in front of you or writing and journaling by, you have a photo and you write to that part of you and then you ask for it to respond. A lot of people say write the response with your non-dominant hand. And then you might actually go, well, what are the things that I need to do to nurture this child? As you were saying, what is the child like? Once you actually have created a connection and a, and there's a voice there, what does the child like to do? And it might be going on on a ride in a theme park, and your adult self might go, no, I don't really want to do that. But the child gets very excited about it. I also want to say that, or it could be walking on the beach or just jumping and doing something, that's not maybe adult-like. But also, if you had a childhood where you had to become super serious and you don't even know how to be playful and light and fun,
Right.
then you might want to find people around you where they can give you an example of what that looks like. And I'm going to say, when I broke up with my ex-husband, who was, is a narcissist, I realized that it was very difficult for me just to let go and be fun, even though he talked about the inner child nonstop, with him, because deep down I didn't trust him. And I didn't feel like I felt like if I was to let go, he would start attacking, criticizing, and that's the worst thing you can do with the inner child when you're trying to help it heal. You need to nurture it in being loving, like you were saying, Lisa, saying loving things to it. And yeah, and I didn't trust my ex-husband to hold space for me to be loving, even though we talked about it thousands of times. But when we separated, I was actually kind of going, I don't even know I don't know what is fun anymore. I don't know what my own thought is anymore. I don't know what I like anymore. And I ended up meeting this man, and I knew this is not a relationship, this is definitely a friendship kind of experience. And he had this really joyous inner child at the time. And I remember thinking, this is my opportunity to spend some time with him to actually observe what it looks like, what it genuinely looks like in somebody in their 40s, who has this access to their inner child. And I said to him, can I spend, a few days with you? Because even how he created his house, he'd bought a new house, is like, oh, this is the area, that's connected to storytelling and, inner
Cool.
child, and, all this stuff that was, he's like, I want to bring children here, and here's a seat that is magical and all of this stuff. And so as I was there and I was observing him, I would observe him for a bit, and we talked about this, and then I would go, and explore his house, like the outside, especially because he had this massive land and, and chickens and all sorts of things going on there, and little ponds. And I would, and swings, and I would go on a swing and allow, that's a great one, allow the inner child to come out, and then, look at the nature and the beauty and all of this, and take it in and go, okay, I can see, as you were saying, my inner child smiling and being happy. Okay, this is what it looks like, and how can I bring more of this? But often I actually communicate with my child, inner child, regularly, and we make little deals. And so I say, okay, I've got a lot of work coming up. And she's like, oh my God, really? And I say, hey, I need you to help me to do this. By you helping me to do this, we're going to make a little deal with, what do you want? And she'll say, I want a holiday on the beach. I was like, okay, we can do that. We can work on that. So you help me to co-create and manifest these things that I want and need and desire, and I take you on a holiday. And and it's quite funny because, yeah, this is a constant, like, okay, what do you want? How can I make your life more fun? Oh, she might go, I want you to dress up today in more colors. That's what I felt today. Or I want to go to a musical, or I want to go and, to the best restaurant with the most amazing food, and I want to have dessert. So those types of things.
Right. Amazing. Where can people find out more about your course and everything you offer if they're looking to dive into their inner child work?
So they can go to my website, which is Inna Segal, InnaSegal.com, and they'll find that I have a lot of masterclasses, and including the inner child. And they can also contact us because this particular inner child course is actually quite in depth. And it goes through all the different stages of development and understanding. And we encourage people to actually book a call and have a chat with my team if that is something you're interested in doing. And we have two parts to it. One part is for people who just want to kind of dip their toe in and go, let me understand it. And it's a shorter program. It's just for you to become more familiar with it, and do this. Some audios that can guide you through it. And then there is the really deep dive program. And so we just encourage people to, again, you can maybe email us at support@innasegal.com, and we will kind of get one of my team members to have a chat with you about where are you at, which is the right, first step for you. Is it just to become aware of what's going on and you're, very new to it, or you've done a lot of inner child work and you're like, okay, ready to transform, my life on all these powerful different levels? And it is so profound when you also do it as a family. My mom did my inner child course, and she every time I speak to her, she's like, that was the most powerful. That was one of the most powerful things for me. It really made me understand things and change and transform. And because I'm a big believer in, transforming things as a family and working on ancestry, I always try and get my mum and any members of my family to come and do this work together. So, but yeah, someone has to start, and it is whoever's listening, but inner child work without a doubt changes your life in such a huge, powerful way. And it's very, very exciting when you do it, especially when you do a real deep dive. And I think everybody, no matter where you're at some point in your life, you need to do this.
Yeah, I agree. Gosh, thanks so much for diving so deep on this topic and for giving everyone an understanding of how important this work really is. Thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you, Lisa.
And to our audience, what is your inner child doing right now? Like I said, mine's in the back seat of my van having a nap. And Inna's, I think, is on the beach somewhere. So where's your inner child? Maybe you should do a deeper dive. Contact her. We'll have her website in the show notes, and you can start doing a deeper dive. It might just change your life, like she said. Bye, everyone.